great to see you here. A great crowd this morning, and I'm so honored to be here. I have to confess something to you. This is one of my favorite places to come preach. Brother Willie, good to see you. And Miss Carolyn back there. I pray for y'all often and appreciate your friendship. Of course, Brother Raymond and Miss Helen, keep them in your prayers. I try to call them every week. We try to talk and connection with them, and then your pastor, what a prince of a preacher. Amen. Brother Tyler Gillett, he texted me this morning, told me he was praying for me, and I should have texted back and said, I need it, and I need it. I mean, I need the Lord's help today, but it's great to be here, and great to have my son in. My son actually lives in Atlanta, and so he's here for a few days and got to come with me today. And then Bobby Nall, I think I'll just tell a bunch of stories and that'll be our service today about Bobby Nall. He grew up at Levon. His dad was one of the best deacons I ever pastored in my whole life. And he was in that first group, the pulpit committee, when they came and talked to me. And talk about somebody loyal to the preacher. Brother Francis Nall, what a great soul. Still miss him. But we're going to look at some verses today. I'm just so happy to be here. Thank you, Brother Earl. Thank you, choir, and the special music. What a beautiful song, and musicians using your talent for the Lord. We're going to look at a passage in the Old Testament, Joshua chapter 14. If you'll find your place there in Joshua 14, this is a familiar passage because of one statement that's here. We're going to kind of climax the message with that. I want that mountain. That's what Caleb had to say, you remember. But we're gonna kind of talk about this today. This famous Old Testament Bible character, this kind of resonated with me recently because I turned 85 2 months ago, and in this passage, it was Caleb's birthday. He said, I'm 85 years old today. So I kind of connected with this passage. I thought, man, is this speaking to me or not? Now, Caleb said, I'm as strong today as I was 45 years ago. I promise you that's not the case here. Don't ask me to run a race. Don't ask me to get in a wrestling match. I mean, I'd be in bad shape. But Caleb was just as strong at 85 as he was when he was 40. And that's amazing. God has sustained him. He has seen so many things. But he was getting older. And they came here in Joshua 14 to divide the inheritance, to divide the land. And there are some things that Caleb said that I think are important for us today. You know, getting old is not easy. Somebody said, you know you're getting old when it takes 3 tries to get up off the couch. Yes, I know. You know you're getting old when you sit in a rocking chair, but you can't get it to rock. I mean, you're getting really feeble. Yes, it's no fun. Judy used to say, as we kind of got old together and had some aches and pains, and she said, you know, getting old ain't for sissies. That is a great truth, man. It isn't. You got to have a little toughness in you as you get old. The Jews divided old age into 3 categories. 60 to 70 was the commencement of old age in the Jewish culture. 70 to 80 was called the hoary heads, the gray hairs. And quit looking around. I know there's some of us here today. The gray hairs, yeah. 80 and above was called well stricken in years. Can I have an amen from some of you? Yes, well stricken in years. But here is Joshua with Caleb. And they're talking about the dividing of the land. And let's start with verse 5, if you will, in Joshua 14. As the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Underline that. You're going to read that a couple of times here. I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. That was his birthday, 85 years old. And he's talking to Joshua about the inheritance. And yet I'm as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in the day, for thou heardest in the day how the Anakims were there, that the cities and were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I'll be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Keep your Bible open to that passage. I want us to think about three statements that Caleb made on this occasion that we can apply to our lives today as it led up to what he was asking Joshua about. Caleb makes these three statements. Statement number one, look at verse 10. He said, I'm still alive. I'm still alive. Caleb, just think all that Caleb had seen. Caleb had been a servant, a slave in Egypt. He was born into the home of slaves in Egypt. His grandfather was a slave in Egypt. He was born a slave. You know, maybe that's why Jephunneh named him this name. Now, to us, Caleb is a very honorable name. I think he's one of the outstanding Bible characters. His faith, his courage, his following the Lord. I think he's one of the finest in Bible characters. But Caleb's name, actually, if you look the etymology of it, it means dog. Dog. Jephunneh evidently, when this little boy was born, Jephunneh didn't see a bright future. His daddy was a slave, and he was the son of a slave in Egypt. All they knew is 7 days a week working hard to please the Egyptians. The Bible said they served with rigor. That means intense hardness of work and labor. 7 days a week. There was no time for them to worship or have time for their families. They were slaves. They were treated terrible. And if you read on through the story, you read about the taskmasters that made their lives miserable. They had hard taskmasters. They beat them. They had to produce so many bricks. They had to have the straw for so many bricks to produce. And they were treated in a terrible way for year after year after year. So Caleb on this day 45 years after he came out of Egypt, on this day, he said, I'm still alive. God has kept me alive. God has kept me alive. That's the first statement I want you to get down in your heart today. You're alive today because of God's grace. You're here today because of God's grace. I promise you, you wouldn't have been able to get out of bed. You wouldn't have been able to lift your little finger if God didn't give you the strength. You wouldn't have the air to breathe into your lungs if God didn't give it to you. You're alive today because of God's grace. Caleb realized, he said, God's kept me alive. God's kept me alive. Yes, I was a servant. Yes, I was a slave. Yes, I was mistreated. But God has kept me alive. Oh, please recognize that. Take heart to that. Through all the things that Caleb experienced, he could say with thankfulness in his heart, God had kept me alive. God had kept me alive. You know, about a year and a half ago, I had a major stroke. In fact, had one of those experiences where I thought, this is the end of my journey. I felt really bad that day. I called my daughter. She called the doctor. They took me to emergency. I was 9 hours in emergency. They couldn't find anything wrong particular. They sent me home. I'm still feeling miserable. She called our doctor and he said, let me check on it. He said, they didn't do a CT scan. They were supposed to do a CT scan. And he said, let me send you over here to this imaging place and get him a CT scan. So we get over there. Man, I'm just getting weaker and weaker, feeling terrible. And they took the imaging, a CT scan, and then we get a text. And the doctor said, ASAP, get to emergency. You've got a major brain bleed. So we're on the way to emergency. Honestly, I thought, this is the end of my journey, Brother Willie. I thought, man. So I told Becky on the way, I said, Becky, I want you to know several things. Number one, I know I'm saved. I know if it's all over today, I'm going to be with the Lord. I'm going to get to see Jesus, and I'm going to get to see Judy. I know I'm saved. And I want you to know I've had a good life. No complaints here. I mean, God has blessed me, been good to me. I had a great wife by my side for 62 years. I had a good ministry God gave me in Garland, Texas. I had a wonderful family, my kids and my friends. I've had a good life. And I said, I want you to know I'm at peace. If this is my last journey, I'm ready. Well, I was ready, but the Lord wasn't ready. And so they got me there, got me in intensive care, and then, I mean, I couldn't even sit up. I couldn't stand up. I was just so weak, and the stroke had just really debilitated me. And Brother Lanny and Dee Dee are here today, and they came down to the hospital. They were there, precious friends. And then they started the rehab part. So I didn't even think I'd get out of intensive care. Here I am, out of intensive care. Now you go to the physical therapist when you make a little progress. Well, you know what physical therapists, their slogan, no pain, no gain. Wow. It was just a few days and they had me standing up. And then they put me in this robot, the craziest thing I've ever seen. It's called an echo something. I'm not up on all the medical thing, but it's like a robot from the lower torso down. It walks for you. And when it says right foot, you better be moving that right foot. Or it's going to move it. But it assimilates walking. And man, pretty soon I'm on a stroller, and then I'm on a cane, and I'm walking and moving, and then to the praise and the glory of God, now I'm back preaching, telling people about the Lord. Don't we have a great God? So Caleb said, I'm still alive. If you're alive today, you better thank God. God gives you life. Life comes from him. The psalmist said, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So the first thing Caleb said, was, I'm still alive. I'm still alive. That's the first statement he said. You're here. You're alive because God has a purpose. If you've never been saved, this is your opportunity. God wants you. He's not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. He wants you to know him personally. He wants you to have his saving grace upon your life. He wants you to leave here today knowing Christ as your Savior. That's what he wants for you. So the first statement, he said, I'm still alive. The second statement that he makes here is, I am still following the Lord. Time and again in this passage, he said, I wholly followed the Lord. Look at verse 8, verse 9, verse 14. It mentions, I wholly followed the Lord. This tells us something about Caleb's character. He was committed. He was all out for the Lord. You know, dear friends, if Jesus suffered all of that agony in the garden and on the cross, and all of our sins were compressed, and he took them upon his own body to suffer for us, then he deserves my best. He doesn't deserve my half-hearted service. He deserves my best. My best. If he died for me, the Son of God laid down his life for me, he deserves my best to give to him. The songwriter wrote, must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sail through muddy seas. No, there's a work to do. There's a work to do. A few months ago, I attended a funeral. It's a big time wealthy developer in the Dallas area. One of my friends, who was a policeman in the Garland area for years, his wife, her father had passed away. And so I went to the funeral. Now you talk about feeling out of place. I mean, this was the ritzy of Dallas. Man, here's poor old preacher sitting here, man. He's probably not dressed or doesn't have a car to fit with all these wealthy people. It was the who's who of Dallas that was at that funeral. But his testimony was what caught my eye. When you walked in at the funeral, everything had these two words on it, all in. It was on the bulletin. It was on the screen. It was on the presentation, all in. And though he didn't get saved till later on in his life, that was the way he lived his life, whether in business, whatever it was, if he had it, he put his hand to it, he was all in. That was what he was always saying, all in, all in. And when his daughter got saved, he thought, what has happened to her? He was watching her life and it was changed. So he went to find out what was going on. And eventually he got in a Bible study and he got saved. Now remember what his slogan was? What was it? All in. Can you say it? All in, all in. Man, the last several years of his life, that's the way. He was on the mission field. He was doing the work for God. He was all in. Whatever he set his hand to do, he was all in. I'm going to give it my best. I'm going to go at it with all I can. All in. That's the way we ought to be in the Christian community. I need to be all in, all in. My whole heart. My whole heart worshiping him. My whole heart serving him. My whole heart loving him. Putting him first in my life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. Put the Lord first. Yeah, this man was all in. That's the way we ought to live our lives. Now, Caleb faced a crisis point in his walk with God and his journey. You remember it happened at Kadesh Barnea. These defining moments come. At Kadesh Barnea, Moses sent out 12 spies, one from each, a representative, one person from each tribe, to go out and spy out the land, look over the land, come back and give a report about the land. They went out to see it. When they came back, Caleb and Joshua said, "We can do it. God's with us. God said he's going to give us that land. We can do it." But the 10 other spies caused the people's heart to melt. Said, "We can't do it. There are giants over there. There are big walled cities. We can't do it." Kadesh Barnea was a defining moment. And Caleb and Joshua said, "We can do it." Let me ask you something. Can anybody here, maybe you're really, really a strong Bible student, can you stand and name the other 10 spies? Anybody? Can you do it? Can you name one of the 10 spies? We don't even know. We don't remember their names. You know, they died in the wilderness. They came back with a bad report. Who do we remember? Caleb and Joshua. They said, "We can do it." He wholly followed the Lord God. He wholly followed the Lord. And now they've been fighting this battle. They've come into the land. They're fixing to divide the land. And Caleb says, "Remember, I wholly followed the Lord. I wholly followed the Lord. I was obedient to the Lord." That ought to be your goal. That's where you ought to be, walking in obedience to his word, living by God's book and obeying the Lord. And so Caleb said, "The Lord promised me this, and here's what I'm going to do. That's what the Lord promised. I want that mountain. And God said, I'm going to give it to you. I want that mountain where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of Eshcol grow. I want that mountain. I want that mountain. I mean, I've wholly followed the Lord, and God said he's going to give me that mountain. I want that mountain." That's my last statement. Caleb said, "I still want that mountain." He said, "I'm still alive. I'm still wholly following the Lord, and I want that mountain." Are there giants still to overcome? Yes, you read the story. Caleb had to fight some other battles. If you read over in Joshua 15, you'll find where he had to kill some more giants. I mean, there are giants to battle in the land. But Caleb was one that wholly followed the Lord, and God's hand of blessing was on it. I want that mountain. I want that mountain. I don't know what God all has for me. I know I'm thankful to be alive. Are you glad to be alive? Isn't God good? I mean, the next time you go to get that drink of water, or sit down to have bread, break bread at the table with your loved ones, God is so gracious to us. Keeps us alive. Now, I'm not in a hurry to get to heaven, but I won't be disappointed if God says it's time to go. There's a special lady up there I really miss every day. But soon, maybe very, very soon, that trumpet's going to sound. We're going to be out of here. I want that mountain where the milk and honey flow. God has something for me and you to do. I don't know what all it is, but I want to wholly follow the Lord. I want to obey him. I want to do what he wants me to do. I want to accomplish. I want to finish strong. I want to finish strong. I hope you do. Let's bow our heads, please. Now, God may be speaking to your heart today about your relationship with the Lord. Maybe you could say today, maybe you could say, "Preacher, I tell you, some things I don't know about life and everything, but I do know. I do know. I sit here in my seat today, and I do know that Christ is my Savior. If I were to die today, if this was my last day, if you faced a situation like I did a year and a half ago, just I thought my journey was at an end. I really did. I was at peace about it. I knew Christ was in my life. I knew He had saved me. I knew I had the promise of heaven. Dear friend, could you say that? Could you be at peace with that today? Let me help you. Let me come up alongside you, close and personal this morning. Let me tell you how you can have peace with God, how you can know for sure. You can know for sure when you pillow your head tonight, when the day is ended, you can know that Christ is your Savior. God didn't make it hard. He gets all the glory for salvation. He's the one that saves us. He made it so simple. All you've got to do is admit you're a sinner. You've sinned against the holy God. We all have. Every one of us all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. We need to be saved. We need Christ's forgiveness. And then we have to acknowledge the fact that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He took our place. He stepped in. All our sins were compressed on Him. He bore our sins where we could have eternal life. And then all you need to do is receive Him. But as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that call upon His name. You can call on His name. You can ask Him to come in your life today. Now you can do that right where you're sitting. You just whisper a prayer and say, "Dear Lord," maybe you want to say something like this: "Dear Lord, I need to be saved today. I want to be saved today. I know You love me. You died on the cross for my sins. The best I can, Lord, I ask You to forgive me. Come into my life today. Be my Lord and Savior. I want You to be my Lord and Savior today." You may not have said those exact words, but if you called out to Him in the privacy of your heart and you meant it, you're not ashamed of it, just slip your hand up right now and say, "Yes, I asked the Lord in my life today. I did. I asked the Lord in my life." Anywhere, just slip your hand up right now if you asked the Lord in your life today. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. You'll never make a decision any greater, any more wonderful than asking the Lord in your life. Is there another anywhere? I say, "Yes, I'm going to ask the Lord in my life today, and I really mean it." You'll never, never, never do anything more important. Now I'm going to pray here in just a moment. We're going to stand to sing. If God spoke to your heart, if you asked the Lord in your heart, come and let us have a prayer of thanks with you. Let us have a prayer of thanks with you, just thanking the Lord for your decision. And if you're here and maybe you're just a little, you're just kind of in turmoil of what to do, I'm telling you, Satan tries to pull you back. He doesn't want you to take a step toward God. He doesn't want you to open your life to the Lord. And if you kind of got a turmoil coming up that you're going through, would you just come? Let us pray with you. Let us help you that you could trust the Lord and get it settled today. There may be some here, you need a church home. What a great place to be a member here. Oh, what heritage here. What a wonderful heritage here. What good things are happening right here at Worth Baptist that could be a blessing to your family and a help to your family. Let God speak to you. Maybe somebody here today and you say, "Preacher, I'm just backslidden. I just got away from God." There's an easy way to come home. Just come home. Open your heart and life today. "Lord, I want to get back in fellowship with You. Make it right where we can wholly follow the Lord." Father, would You speak to hearts? Thank You for this one that raised their hand and said yes, opening their heart today. I pray there'll be others. Nothing greater, Lord, than to see people open their hearts and lives to the Lord Jesus. Lord, please speak to hearts, I pray. Thank You, Lord, for life itself. Every day, Lord, a gift from You. Thank You, Lord. Not only we have life, but we have eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, thank You. I pray, God, You'll bless this great church. You'll speak to hearts and lives today. In Jesus' name, amen.